I can tell you, he heals all diseases eventually by taking us straight to heaven. That's the greatest healing that there is. And I've prayed with people in the hospital, said, Lord, take them home in Jesus' name. Heal their body or take them home and heal their body. But I've also seen God heal amazing physical illness and disease completely healed. And what David is saying here is, don't forget that God heals all your diseases. Because when we look around, you're like, you can become very cynical, you can become very lack of faith. You know, that's why they prayed, help our unbelief. You can become very discouraged by just circumstance and situations of people's lives, and you're left with, why? Why? Like, why this one? Why that? How? And we don't understand it. But at the same time, we can rejoice at knowing that God heals our diseases. And God's reminded me a couple of times, he's not answered what I thought I wanted every time, but I have seen God heal amazing. And if I would, I wrote down two examples. There's many I could talk about, but one was in Mbeya, a city up in Tanzania near the border with Zambia. We're there with the Good News Band. We're singing outside. I don't know. It seemed like God moved and healed and delivered many times easier outdoors. I don't know. I don't think it's true, but it felt like it. Just God was showing his goodness and his glory. So anyhow, we're praying, and I remember, you know, people come forward, and you know, we're doing the crusade thing, the evangelist thing, inviting for salvation, inviting to be filled with the Spirit, inviting, you know, you want to be healed, we pray mass prayer. And God was doing things and blessing. But it was actually when I left the town, the pastor who was there, Thomas Demianus Thomas is his name, and he calls and he says, you know, what happened is when you prayed for the blind eyes to be open, a guy in the crowd never came forward, never, you know, wasn't this thing, and then we got a movie of it and a testimony and made a film. He was healed of blindness. And it's going all through the city, all through the people who know him are excited. And, you know, he's telling me this whole thing of what happened. And I'm like, oh, man, I wish I could have got some movies of that. Could have put it in my book. But it was like God doesn't allow us to have that glory. We're not made for it. You know what I mean? It's like, I was like, oh, praise God. And that's another healing was up in Bellis, that's near Smoky Lake, years ago, preaching, and a guy came, he had inoperable colon cancer. He's a very heavy guy, and I didn't, you know, it's crazy, but it's like I didn't feel like this special lightning bolts type of prayer, and we prayed for him, amen. He actually fell on the ground. People used to fall on the ground a lot more. I don't know what's wrong with you guys. Nobody, you fall down sometimes. That's nice. I appreciate that. No, he actually shocked us sometimes. We're trying to, what? It's like, whoa. But it was, it just seemed that's what we did a lot more in the olden days. Come and lay on the floor, lots. And so he, you know, and we're trying, again, this guy's going to, it's either the Lord or he's going to kill himself falling down here. But, and that was it, and the service ended, and we went home. And then the pastor from there was a lady. She wrote, or I don't know if we even texted in those days. I don't think so. Probably a phone or something. And he was healed. And again, I'm like, man, that would have been a great crusade moment, you know, just get in front of that thing. But what I've said here, and I've said it many times, is I've seen more people healed in a church service like this than in a mass crusade. Genuine healings. Genuine touches of God on people's lives. And God heals. He can do whatever he wants. But, you know, the other side of it is all healing is temporary. You know, we love to worship healings. We love to worship that power, and we seek those things, and we are to ask for them, we are to pray, and we are to believe when we pray, and we believe God, But actually, it's Jesus who we should be seeking. And he heals all our diseases. And that's inside and outside. And we can keep praying and we can keep trusting. And when we don't understand what's going on, he says, remember, don't forget, he heals. Amen? Amen. He heals, and we can trust him with our lives. And if it's in heaven one day, you say, well, that's kind of a cop-out. No, it isn't. Faith in Christ is not faith in faith. Faith in faith is, you know, this thing that if I have enough faith, I can make what I want happen. You can't. Faith in Jesus moves mountains. Faith in Jesus changes the world. Amen? Amen. So put your trust in him. He said, David says, don't forget he heals your diseases. And I love the testimony of healings and miracles and things that you cannot explain any other way except God answered prayer. And I've seen it here, and we'll see more of it, and we'll believe for more of it. But the call is to bless the Lord. To bless the Lord, oh my soul. And as you know, what I loved about singing this morning, the one song, I forget the words of it, but it was the one we kept singing. He's holy. His name is holy. Whatever that song was. We were singing that at camp, and I felt like we're sort of back at camp for a moment there, where people were just free to just sing, and nobody is leaving. No one is in a hurry, and they're just singing, praising God. And there's something about that when we bless the Lord, and he reminds us he saves us, and he reminds us that he heals us. Let's go on. And then he says, forgives our sin, heals all our diseases, and redeems your life from the pit. Amen? Do you remember the pit? I just want to take a second here. I remember the pit. Sometimes we've been out of the pit for so long, we think we're doing okay. This is kind of normal. I've taken care of myself. But I remember the pit. I can remember the smell of the pit. Alcohol, sin, anger, bitterness. You know, that was last week. No. Then I left my house and things got a lot better. No! But if you've been serving the Lord for a while, it's quite easy to kind of forget. He says, don't forget his benefits. He saved us from the pit. And when you meet people, and I stand with them and I pray with them, and they're just coming out of the fire, just coming out of the pit right now, and they're so moved in their spirit. They're so touched by God. I love to be around those kind of guys, to remember what it meant to be saved, to be delivered from sin, to have your diseases healed, these diseases, spiritual disease, to be redeemed from the pit, to be bought back out of slavery to all the garbage that we were filling our lives with and doing and seeing all around us. And you need to remember that. You need to remind yourself. You know, Lori grew up different than me. I always give her mom a hard time. I say, you know, I rescued Lori from a troubled family. Looking back, like, if I came into this church at 15 and 18 when I started Bible school, I would not be trusting that guy with my daughter. Me coming in here. It's like, but Lori grew up different. 5 generations full of the Holy Spirit, serving God. That's why I had to rescue her. No. But what I want to comment about that is, no matter what our background, we still need the same faith to be saved. We still need the same grace to be saved. Her pit, she has no pits. None of us do. No, we're all, if this is a funeral, we're all going to heaven straight. Do not pass go. It can be self-righteousness. People who grew up in the church or people, and that's what I'm saying for myself. I got saved at 15. I've been serving the Lord and doing this. And you can get to this place where you think, I'm doing pretty good. But the problem is unrighteousness and self-righteousness both stink the same. They both need to get saved. They both need the grace of God and the deliverance of God. And you can tell if you have self-righteousness, if you're sitting there anywhere and you're saying, well, I'm glad I'm not like him. That's a sure sign of self-righteousness. Actually, what we all need to be doing is, oh, Jesus, captivate us. Grip our weary minds and these hearts that will just never quit. Take us and bless us with your presence and give us the desire for you again. Even when we don't have the desire, give us that desire again to know you, to serve you, to love you, to seek after you. And when someone's coming and repenting, we repent with them. We cry, God, thank you. We're not like that one who stood there and watched the publican, I want to say a Republican, but the publican over there beating his chest, and this guy's over here saying, oh, thank God I'm not like him. And that one went away righteous, and this one went away just who they are. And I've said it to a number of people in the last while, and talking with guys, I forget where we were even, but it's like, I'd way rather have someone who's just open about their life and their struggle and their battle and their walk and how they're seeking God and whatever, than someone who's just playing the church game. Just, everything's perfect, everything's good. How you do? Good. Okay, but you're a liar. It's okay. God still loves you. You're not doing so good. I can see it on your face. I just have to look at your wife or look at your kids and, okay, don't look at mine, but I can look at yours. And we know things are not all they could be. As I said, self-righteousness is just as stinky as unrighteousness. God redeems us from the pit. I like this comment. We are not bad enough, he can't save us, and we're not good enough to save ourselves. Amen? No. Don't forget his benefits. Because he goes on to this number four, and it fits here, is he crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. In verse 8, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. So here's the answer. Grace is the answer for unrighteousness and for self-righteousness. When you know grace, you can only do as David did and say, praise the Lord, O my soul. Hallelujah. Grace is that unmerited favor, but it's also the power of God, the strength of God to make us what God wants us to be. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God, but that same grace, I work harder than all of you. That grace is his empowerment to change and to live and to be holy and to be righteous. Brian sent me this text this morning from Isaiah 32:17. And the effect of righteousness will be peace. And the result of righteousness, quietness and trust forever. My people will abide in a peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. Hallelujah. God's righteousness is what we receive through Christ. It's not our unrighteousness, it's just as filthy rags. Any efforts we try to do, try to work, try to make happen, it's a stinky thing. And our self-righteous acts, our self-righteous lifting ourselves up, trying to show, is just as stinky as the unrighteous and self-righteous. That makes sense? What we need is his righteousness. And his righteousness brings amazing peace to our life. It brings strength. It brings quietness. It brings freedom. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. We don't have to play church games. I don't know, our background, I don't know what it was, but we never got into church games. Is that okay to say that? I'm not trying to judge anyone else, but it's like we didn't grow up in church as young people. And then when we got saved, it was radical, out of alcohol, out of chaos, out of just running to Jesus. It's like, yes! And so it's like, we're just so thankful for his amazing goodness and grace in our life. And I want to stay in that. Is that okay? I want to live that in my life and give the other people that grace. You know? not be that one is like, oh, oh, sure glad I'm not like that one. I'm over here doing okay. That's a sure sign we are in trouble. And I like this comment. He says, he crowns you with love. He's this compassionate father. Like, that's what the verses go on to say. He's full of grace and compassion and mercy, and like a father. And he says, we are like dust. We're just dust. You know, if I was going to go at this psalm another way, it talks about him being eternal, and we are dust. And yet somehow he has compassion. Somehow he lifts us up. Somehow he cares, and he crowns us with love. And to me, what that speaks of is, you know, wherever you're at in this spectrum of unrighteous, unsaved, to saved, to righteousness of Christ, to a self-righteous whoever over here, wherever you are in this thing, we can always be in the place where we're not good enough, where we are struggling to earn something, struggling to prove something. And you know, I don't, you know, if you would know me, you know, I've heard people say, I don't think God could forgive me. I don't think, you know, listen, God knows everything about you already, and plus more. And he still loves you, but he calls you into this life of righteousness where he will give you the power to live out a righteous life. Like Paul, he says, I work harder than all of you because of the grace of God. And that grace working in him is the righteousness, the strength to do what God's called him to do. And again, you don't have to do what I do, and I don't have to do what you do. We have to walk in the grace that God has given each one of us, to walk him and to serve him. And you get in trouble when you try to live in someone else's grace and walk in their lane and do what they're called to do. And that's not what you're called to. Walk in the grace and the power and the place and position that God's called you to walk in. But coming back to this crowns you, when I feel like I'm unworthy, I feel like I'm not, and neither are you, he says, I crown you with love, this compassion. He knows we're dust. That gives me hope. God knows, and it's not an excuse to go and do stupid things. It's not, okay, yeah, well, might as well just do what you're going to do anyhow. That's not what he's saying. But we are dust. We are weak. We are in need of a Savior. We are in need of his grace in our life to deliver us. And then we got to walk in that. And it comes back to what PJ said last week of that swagger, getting your swagger back. You remember that? Of who you are in Christ and who God's made you to be. And it's not an arrogance, and it's not like this, look at me. It's like, I am a child of God. And those guys who go way off on prosperity and way off on, you know, the royal blood in my veins. But it's true. God's called us to be children of God. He's called us to lift our heads up. He's called us. And there is no sin that's too big for God to deal with. There's not. And that's the devil's lie. That's that luring you out of the fortress that PJ was saying last week. And I just, my mind works in different ways, but when he was talking about some of that, I just see these, because anyhow, we've been watching these things and talking, but it's like this pedophile story where they lure children with candies, you know, or a little puppy dog. Look at my little dog. We were watching this thing where the guy's warning parents in a park about how easy it is to draw your children away, and they're like, no, I've taught my children, you know, don't go with strangers. And he says, okay, can we, because they got to get permission, otherwise they go to jail to do this. And they say, no, we've talked with our kids, it's all fine. And they say, okay. They go around the corner, they come out with a little white poodle, go up to little Johnny on the swing, oh, you like the poodle? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I got some more puppies, would you like to see them? And they literally walk out of the park with their kid. And so they're trying to show parents how easy it is. But that's a picture of how the devil lures us. You know, he wants us in a pit again. He wants us this self-righteous life. He wants us to just be full of fear and sin and misery and just lure us back. But he's not stupid. He's not going to come with a big, ugly picture of divorce and pain and drug addiction. Whatever picture you have in your mind, he comes with subtle, did God really say that? You deserve more. How could somebody say that to you? Did the church really do that? Whatever. Like, he'll just come with, and if you're not in a good place with God, or you don't have good people around you to speak into your life, it's so easy for him to just take us away. But I love this picture, and I stuck on it a bit. Just this, he crowns us. He says, I know you, and I'm going to crown you with love and compassion. And that's what draws us back. And that's what we're not supposed to forget when we're challenged to praise the Lord, worship the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, speak it out. And I'm not getting a lot of amens out there, but it's okay. I'm used to, you know, being abused and pushed down and hurt. I don't expect much, no. I'm going to be like Frank all the time. Amen. Amen. You're saying, well, say something we can say amen to and we'll do it. Like a father has compassion, verse 13, he knows we are like dust. Verse 17, from everlasting to everlasting, his love is with those who fear him. We can feel like dust, we can feel unworthy, but he crowns us. He crowns us. What I had this picture of is walking around and there's people in this room, he crowns you. He just lifts your head. Lift your head. You're a princess. You're a prince. You're a child of God. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. We walk around with crowns on. Sometimes they're a little crooked and they're hanging there, but it's like, no, he crowns me with his love. He just puts that anointing on me. And some days I feel it like I could almost sing. And other days it's a little less, but you're like, I trust what God says. And what he says is the truth. And then he says, number 5, satisfies your desires with good things so your youth is renewed like the eagles. We've all tried to drink at empty cisterns. We've all had desires that did not satisfy when we got them. God truly knows the best for us. When we finally get it, we say like David, praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. If you've ever been satisfied with Jesus, you cannot settle for less. I don't know. It's not something we can preach into people. We can't force into people, into you, into me, no one. But when you have drank at that beautiful well of the Spirit of God, I don't know how else to put it, when you've had living water, the Spirit of God is real and you're touched by him and moved by him, nothing else satisfies. And when we come together as a family of God and we worship him and we're singing and his Spirit is moving on our lives, and or you can be at home in your prayer time or can be anywhere, when the Spirit of God comes into your life, and this morning, again, I'll just go back to my little example. Where I felt God this morning was standing beside Helmut and beside Shelley here at the front of the church. Just, I don't know, I just thanking Jesus, blessing the Lord. And it's not fancy and it's not loud and it's not like I can sing like some of you or what. It's just, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Because he satisfies. There's something satisfied in my life. I don't have to hunger after stuff. I don't have to push for identity. I don't have to try to win something. It's like he's just satisfied me, my soul. And there's times when I'm like, Lord, you can trust me with a few million dollars. It would be okay. You know, it's like, trust me. But he knows what's best for us and what's best for our life. And my prayer is this morning that as we bless the Lord with all that is within us, that's the command, we would not forget his benefits. And that causes us to bless him. And then we remember his benefits. And then we bless him. And that's what this psalm is saying. Read it through. He starts and he ends the same. And if you would, you know, you just keep this thing in a loop. Just keep going. We bless him and we don't forget him. I've been saved from sin. I was saved since I was 15. I know I was saved. Like, you didn't, I was blind and now I see. Like, that's the thing about salvation. You know it or you know you're not. It's not a question. It's not, well, I think I am, or I, you know, one day I read a book or something. You know you were lost, and now you are found. And if you don't know that, then come to Jesus and repent, and be sure you're ready for heaven. Get on that narrow way. The gate, there's one gate, and it's Jesus. Anyone who tries to get in any other way is a thief and a robber and a liar. There's only one way, and it's Christ. And he's saying, come. I want you to be part of my flock, my family, and I will satisfy your life with good. I will satisfy you. And I was going off on our sins again, but when I think back, the smell, the feel, you know, one thing that sticks in my head is my dad drank lots. He was an alcoholic, and I could tell you a whole long story, and I don't blame my dad for lots of stuff. But one thing that you want to talk about, the smell of the pit that got me, was we would bale hay or we would combine. It would be like 38, like these climate change gurus talk about, but it was hotter than that back then. And we're baling and we're combining. And my dad, I don't know how he could stand it, but he had these boiling hot beer bottles in the cab of the tractor or in the cab of the combine. And I just remember that smell when he would open that beer and it was just like sucking golden juices into his body is how he looked, because he had just, and I just have this picture of my dad just sucking the last drop out of that beer bottle, and it's stunk. And I've told my friends in South Africa who were more into drinking alcohol than me, more ease around that, and I've always said there's nothing good at alcohol, nothing good comes from it. But I would say it reminded me of horse pee. And they said, well, how do you know what horse pee? I know what horse pee smells like. I grew up with it. And that hot, stinking leftovers in a beer bottle in the cab of the tractor or wherever it was, it makes me, so when I think of that, I remember thinking, I don't want that. I don't want that life. I don't want that beer that everybody kept pushing to me. I don't want it, but I didn't know what else there was. And then Brian led me to Jesus. He was a drunkard like the worst of them. Stunk. I could tell you stories about his stink. And just remember Christmas. They're falling down in their puke. They're laying on the, passed out. We'd drag our uncle to the bed. It's, you know, everything in moderation until he passed out. And then we'd drag him to, like, all I got to do is think of some of those things. And I just want to bless the Lord. I want to come into the house of God and I want to, with all that is within me, bless the Lord. And I love it. We grew up, not grew up, but we spent 30 years in Africa, and nobody was shy to bless the Lord with all that was in them. And I'm not saying you Western, white, senior Canadians have to dance like Africa, so I'm not putting guilt on anyone. But there has to be something that comes out of us that we forget not his benefits. That pit is, we're free. And I'm not going into that pit, and I'm not going into that pit. I'm going to stay over here in the righteousness of Jesus. I'm going to have peace with God and peace in my life, and I'm going to love and worship God like He deserves to be loved and worshiped. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You close this service however you want.
Well, we'll call the worship band up.
Yeah. You got to sing for 2 hours at least. But.
You know, you're speaking of that smell, and I had an uncle whose house was like that too, and we were just out in the wild Saskatchewan, and you got to go take your garbage to the dump, and I opened up that door, and I smelt that. Just, I know that smell, so. But the image that's just stuck in my head is that I just want to be around those people who remember what it's like to be saved from the pit. And, you know, Nicole was encouraging us just to speak about what we're thankful for. And is that not something amazing to be thankful for, that we've been saved from a pit? Amen. And so why don't you stand? I just want to...